This is URN.
The Film Show Breakdown.
Hello and welcome to The Film Show on URN. I'm Alessandra.
I'm Tom.
I'm Osama.
I'm Joe.
And we are The Film Show. Number five is Spotlight, which I saw last week with you, Tom.
Yes.
Yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was... I was engaged throughout, which was quite surprising because it's quite low-key drama. It's not bombastic. It's also not very cinematic, but I think that's okay given the subject matter. So it's about the Spotlight team of the Boston Globe who broke the story of Catholic priests abusing children. So that's obviously quite bleak subject matter. The one thing I will say about it is I really enjoyed the portrayal of journalism, and it seems very even-handed throughout, but I really, really could have done with a moment of personal catharsis. And it's not really for any film criticism reasons, it's for purely personal reasons, where just like a single expression on someone's face or something that would have made it seem like a bit of a happy ending. I mean, there's the suggestion of it, but it feels more like a wound being let rather than a kind of, you know, release and things are looking up. What did you think, Tom?
But it's very thorough. sort of both
like the journalism.
both in sort of how they go about it, but also in the construction of it. A lot of people have said it's kind of unshowy and sort of workmanlike in its direction, which is why people have a bit of an issue with it being nominated for some things. But there's actually sort of a lot going on, like the fact that virtually every outside shot features a church somewhere in the background kind of thing, and just little things like that. So it's just this constant oppressive climate. I did know the number. It's a ridiculous number of churches that they have for that sort of area of America.
They are everywhere, and the angle of the shots as well makes them seem very imposing.
Yes. It's very sly. I would suggest not watching any films sort of for a few days after that, otherwise you'll forget you've seen it like I did.
It is a weird one. It has to be said, though, I think the thing that elevates it beyond kind of being televisual or whatever, making it not awards worthy, are the performances are really great. It's really nice to see a proper ensemble cast. Mark Ruffalo's getting kind of most of the plaudits, and he does get the one big speech.
Because he's the angry one of the team rather than we're doing our job.
Yeah, but the relationship between McAdams...
Rachel McAdams
and her grandmother, I found it maybe on a personal level because I was brought up Catholic and I'm now not Catholic, and I've had that kind of thing with my mum where it was just like dealing with that. I felt that was a very personal story that they both communicated really, really well, and that's only just a slight kind one aspect of it, but the performances were really fantastic. I would recommend it, and I think I'm glad it's getting critical acclaim, because it's not going to get probably widespread acclaim. I mean, it's the opening week and it's at number five. It might not be around in the box office next week, I think.
Of what I've seen, I would probably say it's my pick for best picture, though.
Number two, Dirty Grandpa. Masana, we look to you for all of the films that seem rubbish.
this is yet another one of those films. It is absolutely terrible, and I can't believe that it managed to reach number two, because as I was saying to you before, I didn't think it really would resonate with people this much because of the horrible critical response, and because like with films like We Are Your Friends, it doesn't seem that Zac Efron is always a guaranteed box office draw.
I don't think that the audience are people who read critics for the first thing, so I don't think that the critics' opinion made any difference on it. I also think that you can't rule out people going to see it in order to hate it, because the trailer just looks like sacrilege against all that Robert De Niro has made in the past.
Yeah.
Although not all, because he's had some very serious missteps.
I don't even think it's his worst film. I think Grudge Match was worse.
Yeah.
I think I think New Year's Eve was worse. I think there's another film he did in the past few years which was pretty terrible.
I didn't mind The Intern, but that was very...
I liked The Intern.
Yeah, it was okay.
Tarantino loved The Intern.
Did he?
That's one of his favourite films of last year.
Righteous Kill, that was a terrible film. That was one of his worst.
I haven't seen any of these films. See, I managed to avoid...
A few of them, yeah.
I managed to avoid bad films.
And the third installment in the Meet the Parents trilogy was an absolute travesty.
So I want to mention The Hateful Eight, which has dropped out of the top 10, is at number 13. I think probably because of its length and its 18 certificate, it just hasn't managed to stick in there in the same way that Daddy's Home has. it's too long. It's way, way, way too long. And there are a lot of elements that I think should have gone. There's a lot to be liked in it, but you would hope so in that much film. There really needs to be a lot of good bits. I do think that the Quentin Tarantino narration that comes after the intermission was a mistake. I hated that. There's a whole kind of, not flashback, but previously sequence, which I think could have been dealt with much better.
Or not at all.
What was the Quentin Tarantino narration?
When he basically go after...
last time we saw our heroes. Yeah. That went.
That was flawed.
I can't remember that.
After one of the characters gets killed,
right,
after the first big thing, it sort of then suddenly cuts to them being dragged out of the house, out of the haberdashery. And he's going, this is what's happening.
Oh, right. He shows the hand poisoning the coffee and Daisy.
No spoilers at all. Actually, that wasn't a spoiler. I was worried you were about to say something.
Bit rich.
I'm not going to live that
know.
It's because there was obviously a 15-minute intermission, and it accounts for that lapse in time, as if it's all happening in real time.
I can't believe you don't remember. It was so jarring to me. But there was a lot to like about it. I thought the performances were very good. I liked the beginning bit, to be honest. The whole sequence in the coach that you thought
it
should have been...
It dragged on.
It did a bit.
But the whole film dragged on.
And let's keep on introducing them.
The opening 45 minutes dragging on was not outstanding to me as a, exemplum of dragging on, because the whole film dragged on. generally I liked it. It just needed to be pared down a heck of a lot. What about 13 Hours? Masani, you saw that. That's at number 15 in the UK box office top 10 in its opening week. You liked this, right?
Yeah, I liked it. I'd say it's probably my second favourite Michael Bay film after The Rock.
Yes!
Because this one's more for adult audiences.
Is this his documentary?
It's not a documentary.
It's not a documentary.
It, like,
I thought...
tend to. The right-wing American press are acting as if it is.
Right.
It's a condemnation of Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
Yeah,
so explain what it is.
It's about the night in Benghazi when the US embassy got stormed by terrorists. And the whole... It just covers the 13-hour event of the whole firefight. The action is really good. It uses a lot of video game aesthetics with, like, first-person view and stuff like that. So... It has a lot of entertainment value in that, and
Michael Bay is just a big kid.
Yeah, it's very serious, which I also enjoyed, because that's what I hate about, like, Transformers and all those other films, and it's not as cheesy as Pearl Harbor and Armageddon. And the film is way too long, but, like, since it's covering a 13-hour event, it's like you're watching in 4D anyway.
How long is it?
2.5 hours.
Yeah,
and it tries really hard to manipulate the audience's emotions. And to be fair, at the end, I was thinking this is a really sad event.
You saw Youth this week, Tom.
Oh God.
Don't cry.
How do I do this? It's Michael Caine and Harvey Keitel in a hotel being old together, and.
As old people do.
Yep. Reflections on life, but I don't know how to sort of sell it in a really
He's a composer,
kind of engaging
right?
way. Yeah, he was a composer. He's sort of famous for these things called the Simple Songs, and someone from the royal family comes along and tries to convince him to perform them for Philip's birthday, because Philip loves listening to the Simple Songs. There's this really weird collision with real life and fantasy. Well, not fantasy, but like the fiction of it, because suddenly one of the characters... breaks up with someone, and it's like, oh, and this is my girlfriend, and it's Paloma Faith, and she's playing Paloma Faith. Mark Kermode said that she doesn't do it very well.
Yeah, she's an unconvincing in her portrayal of Paloma Faith.
She doesn't. She's an unconvincing human being.
Oh.
If you've ever seen it, just the way she jars, is like, you're not real. So I think that was probably why he said that. It's great. It's sort of, I don't want to say plods along, because that sounds depressing, but it sort of goes as you would expect for, like,
ticks
half of
along
it.
Is a better way of saying that, I think.
Ticks like time for these old people. And then halfway through, suddenly there's this montage, and at the end of this montage, something is revealed. And then from then on, it's just loaded with random little bits and ideas and things and musical pieces, and the music in it's strange because it ranges from Stravinsky to David Guetta. And it's all great. I don't know how to sell it anymore. It's brilliant.
I'm not feeling the love. Except for it's brilliant at the end there. You tweeted that this was as perfect as you like your films to get.
Yeah, because I don't like things to... What I like is how messy it is and how overreaching, which is probably why people are saying it's a lesser work compared to Paolo Sorrentino's The Great Beauty, which won the Best Foreign Film when that came out, whenever it did. Was it last year? Year before? But yeah,
I think it was 2013 or something.
It's full of ideas and kind of, oh, and there's these characters in the hotel and these characters, and it just goes off, and it's just so loaded with things that there's no way it could possibly kind of cohese in a neat sort of thing, which is what people want from their cinema, kind of, like, canonically speaking, critically speaking, people want things to all, you know, be in service of this.
Yeah, I have heard
that
it's a very strange film. Whereas, and
yeah,
didn't some of your fellow audience members...
Yes, literally said, this is a very strange film. Because the marketing sort of sells it as Michael Caine and, to an extent, Harvey Keitel, whereas... They are, like, Michael Caine especially is the main character, but it's very much about all these sort of satellite people that just get involved and don't get involved. And then
Rachel Weisz is his granddaughter,
there's
right?
A guy who levitates, yes.
She's a stamp of quality. I like Rachel
Weisz.
She is.
She's very good in it. Yeah, there's some lovely little moments, and then there's some lovely big moments, and there's a man who floats.
Okay, so you recommend?
Yes.
Thumbs up. I lent you Transcendence.
Your favourite film ever.
It's not my favourite film ever. It's just a film that I thought was really given a hard time when it came out, and it was undeserved.
By everyone on this show as well.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I expected to not like it. I think... Do I need to go through what it's about?
Yeah, just quickly.
Johnny Depp, remember his name, uploads himself to a computer. And
yeah, that'll do.
When he gets killed, as you do. It's... I think there's a lot of ideas in there, and it almost doesn't know what to do with them, and so it sort of skims over them and sort of goes, here's an idea, moving on. And not in the sort of way like Youth, where it's like, contemplate this. It's almost like, we don't have time to contemplate this. Because now everyone's all metal computer robot people. Although I found it very interesting for how it resolves.
Yeah.
Which I can't go into.
I thought the ending was a strength.
Yeah, it was...
I liked it
well,
a lot.
Just not even, like, the ending, but kind of, like, the whole actual second half from the trailer sold it as Johnny Depp is a, like...
Johnny Depp is not in it as much as the trailer would have had you believe.
And that he's kind of like a Skynet kind of figure rather than... Come work for me. it's good.
Good, I'm glad you liked it.
It wasn't great, it was good.
Underappreciated, right?
Yeah, I can.
Because it really
that.
Got slated. People thought it was absolutely awful, and I think that was because they were seeing it from blockbuster eyes, because it was Johnny Depp, and as you said before the show, Masana, the Christopher Nolan
it
connection.
Probably needed to be longer, and I mean it was 2 hours.
No, that's what I like about it, because in my head it is a B movie. It's a really like well crafted, enjoyable B movie, and that's why it's short. And I kind of disagree that it just kind of skims over ideas, because I feel like it just. It accelerates at the pace that it believes it would accelerate.
Yeah, well, yeah,
from
that's
the premise.
Fair.
Wasn't there a B movie in the '90s? I think it was called The Lawnmower Man, which had the same premise
by Stephen King.
Okay, I haven't seen that. I have to see that.
The biggest problem for me maybe was that these are the top people in their field, and they make the stupidest decisions in the world. Like nobody is that blinded
yeah, but
by
that
love.
In all films.
That you know, like even Paul Maitney calls it out and goes, you know, 15 minutes after we've brought him back from the dead, he wants to upload himself to the stock market. Don't you think that's a bit suspicious? She's like, no, go away, there's nothing suspicious about that.
Paul Bettany is great as well. It's just a good film. I'm glad that you didn't hate it.
Good.
I didn't want you to be like, you're stupid, Alessandra, this is a terrible film. This is URN,
the Film Show Breakdown.